Welcome to this edition of the Reed Report, Nareit's weekly podcast. I'm your host, Alan Kenny, and we're recording this on September 29th, 2017. My guest today is Green Street Advisors analyst John Pawlowski. He covers the single and family residential housing sector, which has received significant attention from the investment community of late. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
So, John, at the outset of the year, Green Street started formally covering the single family rental sector. Why now? I mean, does this say something about the sector's evolution and how the industry views it today?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer is the size of the publicly traded REITs and, importantly, the quality of these companies had improved dramatically from the early stages in 2013 to 2016. And with the Invitation Homes IPO looming, the second largest REIT IPO, looming, and you'd have three high quality companies that were becoming too big to ignore for us and our investors who are determining whether to buy or sell these companies.
And how does the single family rental sector compare to, say, apartments in terms of operating fundamentals and valuation?
Yeah, right now the operating outlook for single family rentals on an absolute basis and relative to apartments is quite favorable. Our same-store NOI growth projections, which is the best way to view stabilized operating fundamentals, we're projecting NOI growth of over 300 bips better than apartments in each year from 17 through 2019. It's in part driven by continued operating platform refinements. It's part driven by the REITs doing a better job of cutting costs out of the cost structures, and also minimal new supply pressures versus apartments, which are have been and we think continue to be pressured from new deliveries. Single-family home building and home buying activity is fairly restrained, and that benefits the single-family rental landlords. From a valuation basis, valuations for the single-family rental REITs are becoming a little pricier given sizable share price run-ups we've seen in the last year, but they're still very reasonable given the favorable near-term operating outlook, and both single-family and apartments trade at fairly compelling valuations versus some property types. So the valuation versus apartments looks a little pricier, but nothing out of the ordinary for now.
And, John, recently the Securities and Exchange Commission issued subpoenas to the three single-family rental REITs. What prompted this, and, I mean, are there any implications for the sector?
Yeah, candidly, I don't know what prompted it, and the REIT teams don't know what prompted the SEC subpoenas either. The SEC is investigating a third-party provider of broker price opinions that are used for single-family rental securitizations. So they basically opine on home values that the REITs then use to sell securitized debt to investors. So I'm not sure what prompted it. Right now we're seeing this as more noise than any meaningful impact. The SEC investigation could go along for some time, but right now we don't see the REITs being on the hook for any legal recourse, meaning damages to investors or having to post incremental collateral. We'll continue to monitor it. The investigation, we have very little details right now, but in our minds this is more noise and it's not impacting the REITs. And just this week, Starwood Waypoint Homes just priced a securitization, which suggests that they priced it fairly attractive terms. So it suggests they and investors are seeing through the noise for now.
So given that this is a newly institutionalized property sector, what are some key considerations for investors to keep, you know, kind of top of mind going forward?
That's a great question, and I mentioned the favorable near-term operating outlook. There still is some question marks for this sector that investors, long-term investors, should keep in mind. One is capital expenses, capital expenditures on these homes. Given that this asset class, at least in institutional form, has only been around for roughly 5 years, nobody knows how these homes are going to age over time, and the cost burdens associated with the aging of homes. Our view is that the CapEx burden for these REITs is going to be higher than multifamily, but it's a best guess. It's an educated guess for now. So CapEx is one risk to the story. A second one, not necessarily risk, but something to keep in mind is the REIT's capital allocation skills. They all capitalize on a trade, and they bought at the right time largely, and the trade has worked. Home prices have recovered massively, and the value of the single-family REIT portfolios has improved. Their capital allocation skills will need to be proven over time in good and bad times. So it remains to be seen whether the REITs will respond to their cost of capital signals in the public market, whether share prices are trading at large premiums to NAV or discounts, and whether they react by tweaking acquisition volumes and perhaps liquidating large portfolios or small portfolios from their footprint as their cost of capital dictates.
Well, John, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem, Alan. Thank you for having me.
And many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us as well. For the REIT Report, I'm Alan Kenny.